Vanachari, that's the last line, by the Jamuna Tira, by the banks of the river Jamuna, Jamuna Tira, Vanachari, he is the joyer of activities with the associates of Krishna. Find on your phone the words for the song so the family can look. They have one phone and four people. Five people. Find the words and give them your phone. So this is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just singing names of Krishna. That's what it is. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Gopi Janab Balabha Giri Vada Dhadi Giri Vada Dhadi Gopi Janab Balabha Giri Vara Dhadi Gopi Janna Balaba Giri Vara Dhadi Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Braja Janadan Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Kunjabi Hadi Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vara Dhadi Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vara Dhadi Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Vara Dhadi Giri Vara Dhadi Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jamuna Tira Vana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi Madhava Kunjabi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi. I had a plan, but seeing who's assembled here, I think I'm going to modify the plan a little bit. This is the month of Damodar. Damodar? You know the meaning? Damodar means Damo Udara. Damo means waist, and Udara means around the waist. So Krishna was tied with a rope around his waist by Mother Yashoda. That's the name, Damodar, means Krishna, the name of Krishna, who is tied around the waist by Mother Yashoda by a rope. The whole month in our Hare Krishna movement, we recite some beautiful prayer that was written long, many ages ago, even before Krishna made his appearance, describing this Damodar Leela. It's at eight prayers, Damodar Ashtaka, Ashtaka, eight prayers, glorifying this pastime. And the Damodar month began on the Purnima day, the full moon day. Purnima means full moon. So on the Purnima day, this past Sunday. So this is the seventh day of the Damodar month, or Kartik month. And we've been reading from Srimad Bhagavatam on the verses and then the commentary to those verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the section that we're in presently is a highly philosophical section. And I was thinking to continue reading, but I think I'm going to do a course correction and just describe more about the pastime than this high philosophy. The high philosophy has to do with understanding who Damodar is, or understanding who is the source of everything. Religions of the world, so I'm going to speak broadly now, not just the verses and the commentary to the verses. Religions of the world commonly hold that there is a higher authority, a higher source of everything, known by different names in different cultures, but in our English language is God, or in the Sanskrit language is Param Satyam. Satya means truth, and Param means supreme. So supreme truth, Param Satyam. The supreme truth, by definition within the Vedas, is that which is the source of everything. Whatever that is, that's the source of everything, that's Param Satyam. And the Vedas are pursuing that, understanding that. So that is understood in different features. There are three features of that, or the source of everything. There's an impersonal feature called Brahman. Brahman? Brahman. The effulgence that makes up the whole of the spiritual sky is the Brahman, or Brahma Jyoti. Jyoti means light. Jyoti. Brahma Jyoti. That's one of the features of the source of everything. Another is within the heart, called Paramatma, the supreme soul within the heart of every living being, not just human forms, but the plants. I see some plants here, or little insects, or birds, or beasts, or aquatics, fish, viruses, COVID-19 virus, inside the heart of the COVID-19 virus is super soul. Inside the heart of a germ, little tiny single-celled microscopic entity, Supersoul is there. Supersoul is within everything that's living. That's one of the features of the absolute truth, or that which is the source of everything. And the third feature is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is a personal feature. So here they are again. By name in Sanskrit, Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan, or the all-pervasive presence of the Supreme through light, the localized feature within the heart of every living entity, and the third is the personal feature. Damodar is the personal feature. The personal feature includes the other two. just like, supposing I told you, I have a friend. You probably also have friends. So I have a friend. And they exist. That's the sat feature, the Brahman feature, the existential feature. And you should love that person. So you may say, well, tell me something about that person that's lovable, and maybe I'd be interested to also love that person. But supposing I can't tell you about the person. Well, I can't tell you what they look like. I can't tell you what they do. I can't tell you how they exchange loving dealings with other people. I can't tell you where they live. I can't tell you what they look like. But they're really lovable. Not so inviting for love. The goal of those that accept that there is God is to attain the stage of love of God. To attain the stage of love of God, you need to know about the person, the lovable features of that person, their qualities, their activities, their exchanges with others, and so forth. And the more you hear about a lovable person, the more it's natural to love that lovable person because you know about that lovable person. So supposing I say I have a friend and I'd like you to meet them and here's what they're like, and when you're in their presence, you'll feel this and you'll see that and you hear that, and they're really a lovable person. You may say, I'm ready. I'd like to meet this person. Much more so than if I don't describe like that. So the Damodar is the personal feature, the Bhagavan feature. And we celebrate during this month that personal feature in his childlike form, Damodar. When Krishna performs this Damodar Leela, it's only 3 years. Just about 3 years. A little bit more than 3 years. 3 years and a couple of months old in his pastimes. Of course, he's eternal. He's not affected by time. He's just performing pastimes with his loving associates. And particularly the childhood pastimes are very much involved with the adults, the adult community, certainly his mother and father, but the other adults in Vrindavan, the cowherds, people. And they have affection for Krishna like Mother Yashoda and Nanda have for Krishna. They have parental affection. There's a science of relationships where there's different primary relationships. One of them is parental affection. Vatsalya rasa, parental affection. So that this pastime with Krishna as Damodar is a parental affection leela. And it's not only that she, Mother Yashoda, feels this affection for Krishna. Krishna enjoys the love of Mother Yashoda like anything. And he does things that stimulate her love or nourish her love. He does funny things. He does mischievous things. He does interesting things. He speaks funny things. And she just loves being mother. Mothers love being mothers. They don't have to go to mother school. They just love being mothers. And Mother Yashoda is the epitome. This was one of Atulia's questions. She's the epitome. You said epitome. But as far as I know, the pronunciation is epitome. She's the perfection of motherly love in the spiritual realm. Now, the source of everything doesn't have a mother because he's the source of everything. If he had a mother, then she would be the source of him. But he's the source of everything, including his mother. So what's this thing with having a mother? It's an affection of love. That's what it is. She, Mother Yashoda, is an expansion of Krishna. Everything is an expansion from Krishna. The whole of the spiritual world, the whole of the material world, is an expansion of his potencies. And one of those potencies is the category of motherhood or motherliness. And that's embodied by, personified by Mother Yashoda, and the father is Nanda Maharaj. And that's eternally the reality. It's not like once upon a time Krishna looked at his watch and said, you know what, I think I'd like to have a mother. Boop. Not like that. It's not an event in time. She's eternally his mother. And when Krishna appears in this world, he performs the pastimes that are known of in the spiritual world. Now, in the spiritual world, let's do this. This over here, this is a universe. And according to the Vedas, there's upper, middle, and lower planetary systems, and then that's half of the universe. And the bottom half of the universe is the Garbhodak Ocean. Garbhodak Ocean is the ocean upon which Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, rests. And from him comes this whole universe. There's details. And there's upper planetary systems. There's middle planetary systems. And there's lower planetary systems. And then each universe, I say each universe because the Vedic picture says there's more universes than you can count. There's finite number, but too many to count. And each universe has coverings, seven shells. Not like, kind of like a coconut, but it's not hard like a coconut. It's layers of Krishna's energies that cover those universes. And in each of the universes, they're floating like footballs. They're floating on the causal ocean. The causal ocean is the ocean of another Vishnu named Mahavishnu. So there's an ocean. The universes are floating on that ocean. And on the other shore of the ocean is the spiritual sky. And on the vastness of the spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets, like there are stars in the sky. But in the spiritual sky, spiritual planets, they don't come and go. The stars in the sky come and go along with the universe, comes and it goes. And that those spiritual planets, there's one amongst them that's Krishna's planet, known as Krishna Loka. Loka means planet. Krishna Loka is a spiritual planet where Krishna eternally resides with all of his devotees, including Yashoda and Nanda. And from time to time, Krishna appears within each universe and performs the pastimes of the spiritual world for people of this universe to see. Otherwise, they don't see. But it's a merciful gesture on his part to attract the hearts and the minds of souls within the universe, generally attracted by material energy, trying to be the enjoyers of it, instead attracting their hearts and minds to the spiritual realm. So Krishna appears, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamyaham. He appears yuge yuge, from age to age, from time to time. And when he appears, he displays wonderful pastimes. And those wonderful pastimes are not easy to understand, because by nature they're not worldly. For example, for activities in this world, time is required. when it's time to cook. Take some time to cook. You don't just like sit here and think, and then, you know, the dinner's ready. You take some time. Or you go to school. You have some homework to do, right? So it's not like, okay, I'll think about doing my homework and it's done. It takes time. You do anything, brush your teeth. Takes some time. To activities of this world, it takes time. But the activities of the spiritual world don't take time. They're activities, but they're timeless. Or time is absent. Time as we know it is absent, but time eternal. That's Krishna Loka. And then he appears from time to time and performs activities as if he's one of us, but he's not. Including assuming a 3-year-old form and having a pastime with Mother Jasoda. So we've been spending some time, our discussions, trying to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities. Because they look like something of this world, but they're not. They look like something of this world, but they're transcendental. And transcendental is a nice word. What does transcendental mean? One way to say it's beyond time and space. That's just, you know, it's not within time and it's not within space. Okay, that's what it's not. What is it? It's an activity that is not bound by time, but it's an eternal activity. Krishna's pastimes with Mother Jasoda are stimulations of her ecstatic love. And her love knows no boundaries. Mothers generally love their children. There's some exceptions, but mothers generally love their children, and they become very attached to their children. In the case of Mother Jasoda, her love is otherworldly, it is transcendental. It's beyond time and space. It knows no limit. And in that relationship with Mother Jasoda, Krishna does many things, as I mentioned, sometimes funny, sometimes so many different things. Here's an example from the previous chapter 8. When Krishna was very small, not even 3 years old, he could just toddle. He couldn't walk yet. The elders would come to Mother Jasoda's home and they would say, probably in their local language, for Krishna to see an object on the other side of the room, can you bring that object? And Krishna would go and lift the object. Sometimes it was the shoes of Nanda Maharaj, and he put the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head and come crawling over and place the shoes for Nanda Maharaj in front of Nanda Maharaj. And how did Nanda Maharaj feel? His loving child bringing his shoes. Sometimes they would point to an object that was too heavy for him to lift. So he would toddle over to that heavy object and just touch it, point at it, and smile. And how did the elders feel? Oh, how cute, you know. But is there something that Krishna cannot do? Is there something that the source of everything cannot do? If there's something he cannot do, then he's not God. But if he's God, there's nothing he cannot do, or all powers are within him to do anything. So he can create objects that he can't lift, and then later lift them. It's pastime. He's performing activities to nourish the loving moods of his devotees. That's all. And he's enjoying and they're enjoying, and that's what they do. They enjoy activities together. It's not meaningless when he's little, kind of, you know, children will do things that are silly. They don't have lasting meaning, but there's a loving exchange between the child and the parent. That's the meaning, is the loving exchange. And as Krishna grew older, then he did meaningful things. But he would also exhibit powers of God, like another event we're going to be observing this Kartik month is Govardhan Hill. Do you two sisters, do you know about Govardhan Leela, Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill? You know. Do you know also? No? No? Your mother will read you the story. Okay? It's a nice story. Krishna lifted, he was a little boy. This is when he was just 5 years old. He lifted a mountain. With one hand, he lifted a mountain. Not even one hand, with a little finger of his left hand, he lifted a mountain. So all the residents of Vrindavan could come under the shelter because there was big torrential rain and the whole of Vrindavan was flooding. Krishna protected them. He exhibited powers that showed that he was God, but their affection for him was so strong they couldn't recognize that he was God. They were so overwhelmed with love for him. They just didn't connect because their loving sentiments were so strong. So this Damodar pastime is like that. In this case, he was just 3 years old. And this the narration, the story, begins with another event in our calendar for this month of Kartik is Diwali. You've heard of Diwali? You've heard it? Okay, good. It comes later this month. So on the Diwali day in Vrindavan, Mother Jasoda decided, you know what? I get all these reports that Krishna is going here and there and stealing butter and yogurt and dairy products from the storerooms of the other gopi families. It must be that the persons who are making butter for Krishna don't do it right. He's not satisfied with butter. Let me make butter that's better. I'll make it myself. So on Diwali day, she said, it's vacation time. You go be with your families. You have some regular duties, that's okay, you can do them, but vacation. And I'll take care of making butter for Krishna. So Mother Jasoda, she's really expert. She wasn't not just knew how to cook in the kitchen or to make butter, she knew how to make the best. There were 7 or 8 cows amongst Nanda Maharaja's 900,000 cows that were really special cows. And she knew which grasses to feed to which cow to make which flavored milk. She was really into it. Really refined sense. So she fed the cows the previous day. She milked the cows herself. With some of the milk, she put the milk on the stove to make some milk sweets. And then some of the milk she made into yogurt. And then she was churning the yogurt. I go like this because that was the system. There's a rope that goes around a pole, and the pole sticks in a pot, and in the pot there's paddles, wooden paddles, that move this way, that way, and it sloshes the yogurt inside, and eventually it becomes butter. Just by churning the yogurt, it becomes butter. I've done it. It works. You can make butter using a butter pot, butter churn. So she was doing like this, and as she was doing like this, she was absorbed in singing the glories of Krishna, because he's just 3 years old, but he had already had many activities, and she had made up songs to remember Krishna. And so she was singing songs about Krishna. Her mind was absorbed, her arms were absorbed, her tongue was absorbed. On her arms, there were bangles. And as she was going like this, it sounded like kartals. Ching, ching, ching. Ching, ching, ching. And the paddle was making the sound like a drum. Boom, boom. Ching, ching, ching. She was a one-man band. Singing songs of Krishna. And she didn't even need a songbook. Because they were spontaneous songs. songs of glorifying Krishna. So she was absorbed. She was absorbed in loving sentiments towards her beloved son Krishna. And then what happened? It was early in the morning. Krishna was asleep in a nearby room. So she was taking advantage while he was asleep to do some service for him. But he woke up. Little babies that are asleep, they sometimes wake up. So he woke up. And what do little kids do when they wake up? Mothers know. They're hungry. So he went to where Mother Jasoda was churning the yogurt to make butter. And he just reached out and held the pole. And she smiled because she knew what that meant. He didn't say anything. We don't even know if he spoke yet. But he grabbed the pole. That was the message was, don't do that. I'm hungry. Please feed me. So she dropped the rope and took Krishna on her lap. Just picture this. There's a very beautiful painting. She has her arms, her hands behind Krishna's back. And Krishna's looking into her eyes and she's looking into Krishna's eyes. And imagine what she's feeling. Those of you that are mothers, you know what she's feeling. And even I'm not a mother, I can only, you know, she's feeling love. And as he sees her smile feeling love, he smiles. Oh. And as he smiles, she's feeling even more happy. And when he sees her, she's even more happy. He's more happy, and that transcendental exchange is going on. And then she begins feeding him. But there's always a problem, right? What's life without a problem? So she had a problem. The problem was she could see out of the corner of her eye over there was the stove boiling the milk to make milk sweets for Krishna, and the milk started to boil over. Now she had to make a decision what to do, like we have to make decisions sometimes. There's two things, at least, maybe more than two at the same time. Which one should I do first? So she used her rational faculty. She thought, if the milk boils over, it's spoiled. Then it's very special milk. It was that special milk with special grasses fed to the special cows and specially milked. And she's going to have some special milk sweets for Krishna. And if it boils over onto the stove, it's valuable, super, super for Krishna valuable milk. And if I leave Krishna, I mean, he's not satisfied yet, but I can come back and feed him. And so she decided to go rescue the milk from the stove. Krishna didn't like that. Sometimes we make decisions that are thoughtful and somebody doesn't like it. And we've all had that experience. For sure. More than once. So what did Krishna do? Now, let's go back a few steps. Go back to the very beginning of the pastime. The very beginning of the pastime is Krishna wanted a particular kind of affection from his mother. And Radha remembers this because she's heard it 16 times. Krishna wanted the affection of being scolded. Now, most children don't want the affection of being scolded. But Krishna understood that's a particular kind of affection that he was looking forward to. And so he arranged the pastime to do something so that he would feel that affection from her. He tried it twice. This is chapter 8. He ate dirt. We heard that story. You know the story? Krishna ate dirt. She looked inside his mouth to see, did he eat dirt? And would she see the whole universe? Because everything's inside Krishna, so she saw the whole universe. not just some dirt. She didn't scold him. So he wanted to be scolded. So he did something so that she would scold him. That's the pastime. So her going over to the stove was something he wanted. She only do what Krishna wants. Although she's the mother, it's just that's their relationship. So she went, and Krishna didn't like it, at least externally. So what did he do? He bit his lip with his teeth, like angry, and then with a stone, he broke the butter pot, the yogurt is halfway already now into butter, and then he went to a storeroom to go steal some butter made from yesterday. So the drama is just beginning now. Yasoda comes back. She sees that the broken pot and the stone by the broken pot and the yogurt kind of seeping out of the broken pot. She used her inductive reasoning process once again. Must have been Krishna. She didn't see it. She just did the Sherlock Holmes. She put two and two together and came up with four. Krishna must have done it. Then she saw his little footprints, yogurt footprints, going that way, heading for the storeroom. So she followed his footprints. It says she walked on her tiptoes. She wanted to sneak up behind and capture Krishna. And but meanwhile, Krishna had gone. He had taken a whole pot with dairy products and had left the storeroom and had gone out into the courtyard towards the front gate. And he was sitting on top of a grinding mortar. We don't have those in the West, but during Krishna's time they had a wooden, kind of like a machine, where they would take spices and grind spices. It was turned upside down, and he was sitting on the top of the upside down wooden mortar for grinding spices, eating the butter and feeding the monkeys butter. Now, he had done stuff like that before. It wasn't like a new program. What Mother Yasoda decided, too much mischief. She was in that mood because Krishna wanted her to be in that mood, because she can't have any mood other than pleasing Krishna. That's Mother Yasoda. So she snuck up behind him, and Krishna saw her. She wasn't too sneaky. Krishna saw her. So he got up, startled. He was looking fearfully this way, that way, and he ran. But he's only 3 years old. And she caught up with him from behind. Now, question. Who can catch God? Nobody. Unless he wants somebody to catch him, and then someone can catch him. There's verses in the section that say, great yogis, they can't catch him. That years and lifetimes of austerities and meditation tried to capture Krishna. They can't capture Krishna. But Mother Yasoda, she's not a big yogi, not a big scholar. She caught Krishna. She can only catch Krishna when Krishna let her. Why did Krishna let her? Because of her love. Krishna let her catch him. And when she caught him, he was crying. In part, he was afraid. Now, why is God afraid? It's love. He's not like an actor on a stage pretending to be afraid. He's feeling. It's a mystery. He was feeling fear that he would be scolded. And Mother Yasoda was carrying a little stick. Not like, thick one. Called a lati. You know what that is? Little skinny one, like, your little pinky, that small. And she wasn't going to use it, but she was holding it, shaking it. you know, like you might do with your finger to another person. You did this. Like that. Krishna was crying. He had cudgel or mascara underneath his eyes, little boy. And the mascara or the cudgel was drooping down his cheeks. His whole body was shaking. When you sing these songs, do you sing the song at home? The Damodarashtakam song? Oh, you should learn it. He had shark-shaped earrings and they were shaking because his whole body was trembling. His eyes were very fearful. This is God. But he's in this loving relationship. He wanted this feeling, so Mother DeSoto was facilitating striking fear. She didn't want him to be fearful. When he saw he was fearful, she threw the stick away. But she wanted to, she was concerned. Now he's so afraid, he may run away into the forest. He's only three. In the forest, there's dangerous creatures in the forest. So I better restrain him so he won't go run away. So she desired to tie him to a rope, with a rope, to the grinding mortar. Because the grinding mortar was the accomplice to the bad deed. So it was appropriate. So she got some rope. But it didn't work. Why didn't it work? If there's someone that can hold the universe inside their body, what rope is big enough to go around the universe? Now, he doesn't always show the universe within him, but the universe is within him. And so she couldn't bind him. So a third time, she used her rational faculty. She got two ropes and tied two ropes together and tried to bind Krishna. And it was the same two fingers too short. And she got a whole lot of ropes, many, many ropes, tied them all together. Two fingers too short. The other gopis, the elders, her age, laughed at her and said, they were watching, saying, why are you doing this? Don't you understand? Can't you see? It's just not meant to happen. This morning, a little string, a little bell on the string, and you tied it around his waist, no problem. And now you got all this rope, and it won't go around his waist, so just accept it's not meant to happen. And she was saying two things. I don't understand why it's always two fingers too short. No matter how much rope, it's always the same two fingers too short. Why is this? And the other was, well, whatever the difficulty, I'm a mother. And if my son steals and I don't do anything and he grows up and becomes a thief, I've failed at my duty as a mother. I can't let him grow up as a thief. I have to. So with her motherly affection, she persevered. And you know what? Krishna, recognizing the effort that she was making out of love, he withdrew the potencies, the shaktis that were preventing her from binding him, and extended his kripa shakti, his mercy potency, so she could bind him to the wooden grinding mortar. And then she went about her duties for the day. So that's the Damodar Leela. There's more, but the part that we primarily are going to be covering, I think, during this visit. We may go to the next part, what happens next. The next part is Krishna is there, he's tied to this grinding mortar, and he has his friends, and they want to, you know, little boys, 3 years old, they want to play. So they start playing. So what does Krishna do? You know what Krishna does? There's two trees in the courtyard. Arjuna trees, the particular type of tree, really thick hardwood tree. And Krishna, then his divinity, shifted because he was like a little boy. Now he's going to be God. And Narada, his dear devotee, had cursed the two sons of Kuvera to take birth in the courtyard of Nanda and Yashoda to become freed from their pride of being the sons of the treasure of heaven, Kuvera. And after their pride was removed, Krishna would deliver them. So knowing that Narada had made that promise to these two brothers, Krishna started crawling. He pulled this grinding mortar behind him that caught between the two trees. These two giant trees went crashing down on the ground. And from those two trees came the two sons of Kuvera, effulgent, ornamented like demigods, with folded hands offering prayers to Krishna. The cowherd, his friends, were there watching the whole thing. They offered their prayers to Krishna, and they went back to their heavenly kingdom. And everybody in Vraja heard this crashing of two trees. They came running, especially Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna tied to the grinding mortar, and he asked, who did this? And he said, Mother Yashoda. So Nanda untied Krishna from around the waist and picked him up in his arms to comfort him because he was crying. After pulling over two trees, receiving prayers from the inhabitants who were residents of the heavenly realm, and they went back to the heavenly realm. Now he's back into the mood of being a little boy, a three-year-old boy, trembling, crying, comforted by the being held in the arms of his father. Then there's some nice exchange. It's not in Srimad Bhagavatam, but our acharyas described. This was something Radha was asking about today. Krishna wouldn't even look at his mother. Mother Yashoda came from behind because Krishna was on his father's shoulder. She looked from behind. Krishna turned the other way. She went the other way. Krishna turned that way. He refused to even look at Mother Yashoda. And Nanda could understand his mood. So Nanda said, Gopal, who's going to feed you? And he said, you are. Who's going to put you to bed? You are. Who's going to give you a bath in the morning when you wake up? You are. And for days, he wouldn't even look at Mother Yashoda. It's a loving exchange. It's not like tit for tat. It's a loving exchange. And Mother Yashoda was beside herself with grief. He won't even look at me. And finally his anger subsided and everything was nice again. Simply loving exchange. So the main feature of this pastime, the main feature, is the strength of the love of Mother Yashoda. And for that matter, all the residents of Vrindavan, but this pastime she's getting special attention of the intensity, the strength of her love. So much so that he, who is the controller of all controllers, Ishwara Parama Krishna, he's controlled by the love of Mother Yashoda. How powerful is Mother Yashoda and her love? And that's the nature of Krishna. He's controlled by the love of his devotee, Bhakta Vatsala. So that's the pastime. And I deliberately changed course from what we were doing earlier today, reading this high philosophy, commentaries of our acharyas to explain because of our situation here. It's mainly you two young girls. This was for you. Customized. maybe your cousin too, because you're not so familiar with these pastimes, right? Some, little here, little there. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion or comments or questions or anything you'd like. Yeah. The handle and the microphone. With common surfaces, we're making sure. Go ahead.
How did Krishna subside from his anger? How did he subside from his anger?
Oh, it was like waves in an ocean. They go up and then they go down. There wasn't specifically a cause, like a material cause. He wanted to nourish the love of Mother Jasoda, and so he did. And as her love was nourished, it subsided. Mission accomplished. So he then reciprocated with her in another affectionate way besides that one.
Thank you.
In the spiritual world, everyone and everything is ruled by love. Not as it is here by cause and effect, and I want, in order to get what I want, I do something. That's fruitive activity. Loving activity is different.
Maharaj, you were saying spiritual activities. Spiritual activities does not take time and effort in the spiritual world. Something to that effect, if I heard correctly.
Go ahead.
So my question is, in the how about spiritual activities in the material world? It seems like they take a lot of time and a lot of effort.
Yes, it seems to, because we're dealing with two things: contaminated consciousness, not pure consciousness, and we're dealing with what's the word? Inertia. The material energy has a principle to stay at rest. Once it's in motion, then it has a tendency to stay in motion. When one comes to the position of pure devotion, let's take the example of our founder Acharya. The Hare Krishna movement didn't manifest immediately. There was some delay. But when it started manifesting, it was an explosion. There was effort, but everything takes effort. So we make effort for pleasing Krishna and pursuing activities that we know are pleasing to Krishna. Let's take the example of cooking. It takes time to cook. It takes time to get good ingredients. It takes time to make the kitchen clean. It takes time. But when we're engaged in a devotional mood, it's not arduous, it's loving. And we're not so much paying attention to the passage of time. Isn't it? When you're doing something you really like, it's not like you're minding the clock. The time just flies.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj-ji. My question is this. In the morning, you mentioned the meditation on the form, a spiritual form, which is a spiritual body. So, which part of the body are the kind of form? So, can I understand like the childhood form or adult form or if this is the adult form, so which part of the body, like lotus feet or eyes or forehead, or this is my question.
All of the above. Any of the above. It's particularly recommended with deity worship and in general meditation. In the humble mood, we meditate on, or for the deity form, take darshan first of the lotus feet. However, it's not improper if you come before a deity and you see the whole form of the deity, or that you become attracted by one of the limbs of the deity, the face of a deity, or Krishna's hands holding his flute, or the ornaments on his chest. So that's the all of the above answer, or any of the above. And his childhood form, and any form is fine, you know, provided it's the scriptural form, something from scripture we know to be the form of the personality of Godhead. Any of the above.
Okay, thank you. So my second question is this, we can know transcendental knowledge through the sound. So we will start this from the Maha Mantra. And what is the last stage of having the full transcendental knowledge?
What's the last stage?
Yeah, so we need to understand transcendental knowledge through the sound, which is going to start from the Maha Mantra.
Yes.
And so it will be long lasting till end with Maha Mantra, or it will change any sound, like the kind of form, or...
Well, the sound, in addition to Maha Mantra, is scripture that's describing, it's either of Krishna or from Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita is from Krishna, and Bhagavatam is about Krishna. The two, the Maha Mantra and that sound, they complement one another. The form and the name are non-different. In fact, the name has form. That's a spiritual teaching. Now, we're not going to recognize that or realize that pronto. But it's a transcendental fact. So meditating on a form is the same as meditating on mantra, because mantra, the name, has form. Vacha and vachaka in Sanskrit. The sound of the name and the object named are the same, the form of the name. In other words, it's not that the requirement is you chant mantra and within the mind you're thinking of a form of Krishna. Then you have, that's two things. It's either this or that. The binary processor gets lost, because either this or that. Rather, it's the name. And within the name is form. And we may not realize it, but that's meditating on the form is to meditate on the name, the sound of the name. And other sounds that complement that sound of the name is Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, or scriptural vibrations that are directly from Krishna or about Krishna. Because that sound vibration is also Krishna. The messages of Krishna, the description of Krishna's activities, his associates, etc., that's also Krishna. In sound vibration form. Now, that's a nice philosophical point, and it's hard to realize unless and until one become purified. And the purification process is the hearing process, cleansing. Like we discussed today in the morning, standing in a shower. That's how to get clean. And then there's things you can get more clean if you cleanse yourself while you're standing in the shower. But you can just stand in the shower and get some cleaning. So there's degrees. So the sound of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam over here, the sound of the holy name, and they complement one another. And in course of time, seeing a picture or a deity form of the Lord, any, you know, your earlier question, which form, any?
Thank you.
Here's a nice painting of Krishna and the Cowherd Boys. A B.G. Sharma painting. They're dancing and playing together. Nice. We have a question in the back. Can we give him the microphone? Because we have people online, we want them to be able to hear.
Can you just describe one more time, like the different levels of Vishnus that you were talking about?
Levels of Vishnu. Levels of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, or levels of Vishnu?
No, you said there are different levels of Vishnus as in relation to different universes and higher level planets, right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This one. Here's the universe. That one. Want me to do that again? Here's the universe. And according to the Vedas, half of the universe is filled with water. Garbhadakshayi Vishnu water. That's one of the Vishnu forms. Occupying half of each universe. There's a Garbhadakshayi Vishnu within each universe. And the other half is the 14 planetary systems. Upper, middle, and lower, totaling 14. And then there's a covering. Is this what you're wanting? There's a covering over the universe. 7 layers of coverings, like a coconut, has water inside, and there's a hollow portion above the water portion. So the universe is like that. Except the coverings of the universe aren't crusty like a coconut. They're made of 7 layers of elements, material elements. And then those universes, many, 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 are like compared to footballs floating on surface of water. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that surface of water, that's Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is the source of those universes. The universes are coming from his body. A very far out description. When he exhales, okay, we can exhale. Same thing doesn't happen. From his exhalation, little golden seeds in a seed enters into the material energy, and the material energy clings to those seeds that form universes, then Mahavishnu expands himself into each universe. That's Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, and then within every atom of that creation is Shirodakshayi Vishnu or Paramatma. Paramatma is within the heart of every jiva, every soul, and within every atom. So that's the third Vishnu. So now we have the three Vishnus. Mahavishnu expands the universes. Garbhadakshayi Vishnu enters into each universe. Shiradakshayi Vishnu Paramatma enters into every atom of the universe. Those are the three Purusha avatars, they're called. Purusha avatars means Purusha. They're the enjoyer of Prakriti. Material nature. Purusha means enjoyer. They control the material nature. That's their function. And it's controlled to fulfill the desires of the living entities that want to enjoy separately. from Vishnu. That's called karma. So they oversee according to the laws of karma. Then we went on beyond that. On the other side of that ocean of Mahavishnu, there's what's on the other side is the spiritual sky. And in the spiritual sky, there's spiritual planets, etc. The teachings of bhakti encourage, take shelter of Vishnu, or one of the avatars of Vishnu that appear in the world, or best of all is the source of all the avatars, and that's Krishna. But connect yoga through devotion, love, bhakti yoga, with the source, Vishnu or Krishna. That's Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti yoga. The other yoga systems are like rungs on a ladder, or just watching this lady next door going up and down the stairs. They're like steps on the stairs. The steps leading to the top floor or the top step. The bhakti yoga is the top step of the yoga ladder. So there's other yoga systems that help one get to that stage, but the goal is to get to that stage. Loving service to the source of everything, the Supreme Person, Bhagavan. Online?
No.
Okay. How about you two girls? Anything? Nothing. How about your cousin? No. How about mom? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So I think this evening we'll go back to commentaries if you want to hear some of those. A little involved, a little higher level teachings of how is it that he who is the source of everything can be bound by a piece of rope. He can't. That's what happens. She tries and she can't and she can't and she can't and she can't. Until he says okay. And then she can. And he says okay because he's moved by her love. That's bhakti. The Supreme Lord is controlled by love of his devotee. That's really far out. He was the controller of all controllers. He's the controller of Brahma and Vishnu and Shiva. He's the controller of all controllers. And he's controlled by love. It's not that Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva don't have any love, but the love of Mother Yashoda is so strong, he can put a rope around him. Bind him. And he cries. Out of love. Very mysterious. Okay. So we're done. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki. Okay.